remain standing if we would and open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And if you would turn to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Hebrews 13 and 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just have two more here. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Luke 11, 28, where Jesus is speaking, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, which you have come down in this hour to reveal that word, which you have set forth in the Alpha, and you have now come in the Omega to reveal it. And now, Father, we come into thy presence this morning, knowing that if we walk in the light as you are in the light, that we will have fellowship with thee and with one another. Be with us, dear Father, and fill us with the joy of our salvation, and help us to focus ourselves upon you and your word, which you have brought to us and revealed to us in this hour, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we'll continue with our study of Brother Bram's sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed, and we haven't quite come up to his text yet. We're going to pick up at paragraph 16, and as you see in the next few paragraphs, Brother Branham has not yet began to speak his text. That's his scripture. So he is still giving his greetings and warming the people up to the message of the spoken word as the original seed. But these words, though not yet his text, are still full of meaning. And I'd like to begin reading at paragraph 16, where Brother Branham says, I was astonished one time, not just merely for a sense of humor at this time. In other words, I'm not just saying this to be funny or to say a joke, but notice, he says, but there was a Chicago meeting and a colored man was sitting there and he kept saying, I want to see Dr. Branham. He had a great big hat on and great big crosses, 8 to 10 inches long and wide, across his chest, and robes, and dressed very strange with funny rings and beads and so forth. And I told Brother Baxter, which was my associate, I said, tell him, bring him into the room and I'll see him. And he sat down to me and he said, shall I regard you as father or as reverend or as elder, or what would you like me to regard you as? And I said, well, if you love me, just call me your brother. And he in respects did so and gave me his title, which, oh, if I'd had a few lines to write across the paper, the titles of the name of the church and his title of his church. But he said one thing that always stuck with me. He said, I'm interested in this Brother Branham. He told me what he was interested in his church and these things. But he said, I'm interested in one race. And he said, that's the human race. I said, there we'll shake hands. The human race to everybody, to every creed, to every color, to every person that Christ died for. That's my interest this morning, and I've tried always to make it my interest. Now, I want to read, and then just, I'm not aiming to preach, because I've got here, what I've got here to say will probably take me 4 or 5 hours. So after about 2 hours, then we'll dismiss and go to dinner, then come back after 2 hours. But here before 2 hours, I want to start right at 2. Be here about 1:30 if you can. Then we'll be out in time for tonight. I have to leave this afternoon yet for Tifton, Georgia, when I'm to hold a service tomorrow night in the high school auditorium there, just a preaching service. And then from there, I don't know, just wherever he leads me from there, many places. Brother Argenbright and them's called for overseas to start right away over there, all across the West, out into Canada and around the world. But I believe that you know better after I get finished. If God will help me to give it to you the way that he's given it to me, then after the service you'll understand, I hope. Now, Brother Branham is not just saying this to build up interest in a sermon. He's saying this because this sermon is packed with so much depth concerning the relationship between God and His children that once we finish this study, we should without any doubt understand our position in His family. And I think that we have a pretty good understanding now, especially after our sermon, the difference between God and His Son and the spirit of adoption, which helps us to know and to understand our relationship to God as His obedient children. But this sermon of Brother Branham's takes us plumb back before the foundations of the world and places us in Christ before God set forth His great plan into motion. Now, Brother Branham had a true revelation. Most people just have a mental understanding or a mental conception. Brother Branham had a true revelation. I was talking to Brother Vail the other day, and he mentioned years ago hearing Dr. Kenyon say that when he truly got a revelation that we are the righteousness of God, that from that point on, nothing was impossible before God. And if you truly understood that you are the very righteousness of God, that's what God said you are. You're His very righteousness. And if you could understand that, nothing would stand before your prayer. Nothing would. And your own self-interest or self-doubts would just vanish away. You are the very righteousness of God. Wow. Well, in the next paragraph, Brother Ram instructs us as to how we should be listening to His tapes. And that's where I want to focus our thoughts today. And then if there be any questions that you don't understand, I ask you to bring your books. And then you who have tape recorders can get the tapes and put them in your home and sit down with an open heart, just an open heart. Just lay it out and say, Lord, I've just relaxed now and I'm going to listen. And then when you catch something, turn the recorder off and go get the scripture. And the Bible said, or Jesus said, they are they that testify of me. So let's look through the scripture and see if it's all right. I want you to notice that Brother Branham is telling us to search the Word and take all what he says back to the Word. He said, when you're listening to my sermons, just be relaxed and listen. And then when you catch something, stop the tape and get out your Bible and search that through. Search through your Bible for the thoughts. And that is exactly what Jesus told us to do in John 5:39. He says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And so this morning I would like to focus our thoughts on these last few words here where Brother Branham instructs us as to how that we should study the tapes and take them to the Scripture. And I want you to notice that he said that we should listen to the tape and we should have our Bibles ready so that when we when he makes a statement of interest, then while hearing, we should pause the tape, then take that thought and trace it through the Scripture. And I believe that is exactly what we've been doing here from the pulpit for the last 26 years. But he's saying you should do that also in your homes. You see? That is exactly what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's the key, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now notice he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Too many people claim to believe Brother Branham's message and yet have no clue from this Bible what he said because they have not done what he said that they should do, and that is to study to show thyself approved unto God. It's interesting that many people study to show themselves approved unto men. You know, they can outquote this guy or they can outquote the next guy. But he says, study to show yourself approved unto God. The Apostle Paul said that. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. And the word study was translated from the Greek word spoudazo, which means more than just mere mental exercise, more than just memorization. It means to use speed, to make an effort, to be prompt and to be earnest, to give diligence to what you're doing, and it means to labor or to study. In other words, make an effort in your study. I don't know too many people that get straight A's unless they're just really brilliant minds and they pay attention in class. They get they get straight A's that don't really put an effort into study. Now, there's some people that know how to, you know, to put together words, and they can con a lot of teachers. But but basically, it takes effort, and that's what he's saying: to use speed, to make it an effort, to be prompt and be earnest, to give diligence to what you're doing, and it means to labor or study. So God's not looking for a bunch of lazy Laodicean people. He wants us to be earnest and diligent in our approach to His Word. And if your family is far removed from the church, the local church, it means that you are actually to study the message as you sit together, stop the tape, and take the thoughts that He said back to the Bible. I don't care if you're the only adult in the house. When you sit down and listen to the tape, you know, Brother Bram said to you mothers, he said, you're the preacher in your house. So you take that word and you take it back and you listen as Brother Branham's talking. When it strikes, you open your Bible. You get to show the kids in the scripture where that's found in the Bible. And that'll help the family to come to an absolute in the word. Now, you know, that's what my father-in-law used to do. He was not called to the ministry as a preacher, but he would gather his family and friends and other relations around on Sunday mornings and listen to Brother Branham's tapes. And every so often when that word would strike a chord, he would stop the tape and say, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And then he would play it again. And sometimes he was criticized for doing it that way, but I would like to know how you can claim to believe the prophet of God and then criticize someone for doing exactly what the prophet of God said should be done. So that's the way he said to do it. That's the way it should be done. Now, look, it matters not if you can preach a whirlwind sermon, or if you can do this, do it this way. But what matters is that you study this word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. It's important that you be diligent in searching out these truths, to know them and to live by them and to be absorbed by them. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So at the revelation of Jesus Christ, we're to gird up the loins of our mind. Well, when do you gird up your loins? When you're getting ready to run. You're getting ready to run a race. You don't want those baggy old pants like the boys wear today. You know, not our boys, but the worldly boys. You know, they wear those baggy old things and they trip all over them. No, to gird up the loins of your mind means that you want to be ready to move out. You see? So no, gird up the loins of your mind. That means to get ready to move out for the revelation of Jesus Christ. At that time, things will come fast and furious and at such a pace that if you do not have the loins of your mind girded up, you will not be able to keep up in the race. And that is exactly what we've seen for the past 20 years. And that's why so many so-called message followers are clueless as to what God is doing right now. Their minds are in a cloud and they're being far left behind in the dust because they haven't studied the message. They say, well, I believe God sent a prophet. Glory to God, that makes me elect. No, that doesn't make you elect. That just means, the devil knows that God sent a prophet. That puts you in the devil class right there. What puts you in the elect class is that you believe everything that man said. And believe means to understand. You've got to understand it. Paul said in Hebrews 4:11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Notice he said, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Labor to enter into rest? Well, I can tell you that the best rest you have is after you've labored. You know, when you've exerted yourself, then you finally lay down to go to bed, you can sleep. But he's saying, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So what does it mean? It sounds like an oxymoron. Well, he says, let us labor to enter into rest. But he's using that word spoudazo, to enter into rest. Let us spoudazo to enter into rest. And that's exactly what Brother Branham was telling us, how to study the message. He said, get relaxed and then be ready to listen. And if you're listening in a relaxed state, I'm not talking about putting your head back and drowsing off and sleeping. I'm talking about being relaxed, comfortable, and then listening. Then be ready to bolt. Be ready to get that Bible open when that inspiration or revelation strikes. Just like a sprinter. You know, the sprinter, he doesn't get into the blocks all tensed up like a racehorse. You know, just a racehorse just pent up. He's just ready to bolt out of the what do they call that thing where the horses are? Huh? The gate, yeah. No. you're not to be all tensed up and ready to just jump out of the gate. You know, you're like a sprinter. A sprinter gets in, you know, he puts his foot, first of all, he shakes his leg like this, you know, and he puts his foot into one, and then he lifts his other leg up, he shakes that, and he's just trying to relax his body. Then he gets himself in a very comfortable position, And then he just lets his he just gets really relaxed, because if he's very relaxed, he can bolt out of there like a shotgun, you see. And so he gets as relaxed as he can, and as he sets his feet in the starting block, he shakes each leg to get it relaxed. Then he readies himself and just settles into that block with his feet. But in his mind, he's listening only for one thing. He's blocking out everything else. He's listening for one thing, and that's the sound of the gun. Well, we should be, you know, before they had guns to do the races, they had a shout. And, you know, ready, get set, go, you know, type of thing. But they had a shout. Well, we should be ready. We should be listening only to one thing. So relaxed, only listening to one thing, and that's the shout. You see? Getting us into action. You see, if he's so tensed up on those blocks, he may cramp up. And his mind may not hear that sound the very first instant possible because he's so tense. And by missing that sound, he may lose the race. You're the last man out of the blocks. You may be the last man to cross the finish line. Now, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain." In other words, you're not just, you know, skipping down the, you know, the thing and just having a merry old time. You're running to make it to the finish line before the others do. And again, in his letter to the Hebrews, Paul said, chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul likened our racing, our race with a running a distance where patience and strategy is important. He said, "Wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." What does that mean? It means if you've got certain things that pull at you, lay those aside. In other words, make it impossible for you to get those pulls. Don't put the thing on the shelf so you can look at it. So you can say, "Well, I'm stronger than my temptation, so I'm going to have that, you know, that thing there on the shelf so that, you know, I can just, you know, put it aside, put it away, get it out of your sight." You know, the racer doesn't have an iPod in his ears and he's listening to some music waiting to hear the gunshot. He's totally ready to hear the gunshot. And we should be totally ready to hear the voice of the resurrection. Peter also instructed us to be diligent in our study in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. He said, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." And the word diligence means marked by persevering and painstaking effort. You make an effort. The more effort you make, the more you're going to receive. The more you sow, the more you're going to reap. In other words, not just an effort, but a painstaking effort. A persevering effort. You want it, and you want it bad enough to go to great lengths to get it. And that is why Peter and Paul went to great efforts to make sure the people understood. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 15 we read, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." And the word endeavor means a conscientious or concerted effort toward an end. An earnest attempt, a purposeful or industrious activity. And again in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Notice he said, be diligent to be found in peace. Work hard to be found at peace. Kind of an oxymoron. You think, well, work hard to be found at peace. Well, that's what he's saying. What a statement. So we see that Brother Branham was saying is how that we should study his message. And that goes for even those who do not believe in the fivefold ministry, or those who will only listen to tapes. They do not listen to those tapes like he said that they should listen to those tapes. They do not stop the tape to reflect upon what's being said. And that is the reason why Brother Branham could make the following statement, and yet it goes right over their heads. From the Godhead Explained, Brother Branham said, "Many of you people listening to this tape would say, Brother Branham is a oneness. I am not. I think you're both wrong, both oneness and Trinity, not to be different, but it's always the middle of the road. Like Isaiah said, Isaiah 35 said, there shall be a highway in you Nazarene, brethren, and so forth, the grand old highway of holiness. I beg your pardon. It doesn't say the highway of holiness. It says there shall be a highway, and is a conjunction, and a way. And that should be called the way of holiness, not the highway of holiness. The way is the middle of the road. Each side is where the off falls is found. That's where you find oneness, brethren, on one side, Trinitarians on the other side, but the true message lays in the center of the road. And from his sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Branham said, what is iniquity? Ask somebody. It's something that you ought to do and you won't do it. They know that word. They hear it. You're listening to this tape. You're listening to this message. You see the Lord God say so. You see Him confirm it, make it true. And you know this just as plain as the sun shining outside. But you that'll hold on to your denominations and hold on to those false things, you're workers of iniquity. Oh yes, I had great campaigns. I done this. I done that. Said, ye depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, the Holy Ghost fell on me. I don't doubt that but one bit. I spoke in tongues. I sang in the Spirit. I don't doubt that a bit. No question to that. Oh, brother, sister, what kind of a condition? This is a trembling time. Where are we at? This word is coming to life now. So Brother Brown is saying a lot of these people are giving these excuses. They're people listening to the tapes. But they're just not sticking with what he said. Well, I've got an experience. I did this, I did that. So what? So what? Are you really, truly listening to what's being said? Well, you say he was speaking to the denominations. Was he? He was speaking to those listeners with a denominational spirit on them who will not take to heart what he was teaching. And again, from his sermon, Three Kinds of Believers, he said, look, you're one of these classes, and your present state right now, the present state of mind that you're in here, in this visible audience, and you that'll be in the invisible audience of this tape. So he's talking to the tape people. Your present state of mind after listening to this tape proves to you what class you're in. It tells you exactly where you are. Whether you are a believer in the word and will stay with it. Whether you walked out and shut that tape off. See? That tells what you've done. You don't want to listen to it and shut it off and say, I don't want to listen to that. That's an unbeliever. See? You won't stop to test it and see if it's the truth or not. See, or just hanging around and trying to find some fault with it, then you know where you are too. It tells you. God help us to believe it and stand on it and be loyal to it and obey the word, for he is the word. Then what about those who have decided that certain quotes of Brother Branham concerning the Godhead they just will not use or speak of? Is that not the same as shutting off the tape? Is that not the same as splicing out from the tape? When you can show them literally hundreds of quotes where Brother Brown teaches the Godhead a certain way and they will toss them all out and then try to take a few quotes out of context and claim that those are the absolute teaching on the Godhead, and they distort the quotes that they do use, chopping off the context, which is nothing short of splicing the tape. Because every single time that Brother Branham ever uses the term that Jesus was God, he explains what he means by that. He said, because God was in him. But they take that part of the quote and they throw it out. From his sermon, What Shall I Do with Jesus? Brother Branham said, if we disbelieve it willfully, after the truth has been presented to us, there will be no more mercy. No more mercy will be granted. Pastor, listening to this tape, what about it? Member of the church, listening to this tape, what about it? What are you going to do if we disbelieve it willfully? Can't wash it off your hands. You can't pass it on to the headquarters. It's going to backfire right back to you. You've heard it. What about you? How are you going to stand in that day? He is either on your hands or in your heart, one or the other. God help us. So again, he's talking to the tape people. So what about those men who would rather stand with a few fivefold ministers than with a vindicated prophet? What about those people who would sit under such ministries that would try to get them to see them, for you to see themselves instead of the one that Brother Branham pointed us to? What about them? Workers of iniquity is what they are. They know better, and yet they will not say what he said. From Three Kinds of Believers, Brother Branham said, a man saying that a man be a prophet and then say his teachings are wrong, Now, if that ain't a money working scheme, what is? And the hour's close at hand when that thing will be pulled out on their scene. Yes, but that's the kind that make-believer pat you on the back, call you brother, just as Judas did. But remember, he knowed from the beginning, he still knows, yes sir. Remember, all those listening to this tape too. That's right. You're in one of them classes, that's exactly right. Now we're going to close every person that's here, present, every person that listens to this tape, and even though someday that I have to leave this world, these tapes will still live. And that's right, see? And you're in one of these three classes. You've got to be in one of them. It's exactly, you can't escape it. You're in one of these classes. So you tape listeners, he's saying, it's coming a time, I'm going off the scene. My tapes will still be playing. And you people listening to these tapes, you're in one of these three classes. A believer, a make-believer, or an unbeliever. So we have a lot of unbelievers listening to tapes. We've got a lot of make-believers listening to tapes. And then there shall be some believers listening. So he's talking to those people who are either listening to his tapes back then or will be after his departure. He says, you are in one of these three classes. So there you are, right down to the tape listeners. Three kind of believers right in this message. And from the message, Shalom, Brother Branham said, a minister, brethren, you know from the way that I'm talking, you that's listening to this tape, I'm talking to you. Not only to the little congregation here, but men around the world. Many go out and impatient. But believing that the time is near, you try to do something within yourself. Wait upon the Lord. Patience is a virtue. If you can have patience, it's virtue. It's virtue if you... And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Not they that try to get ahead of the Lord. They that try to tell the Lord, Lord, I know you want me to do this and glory to God. And I don't do that. Wait upon the Lord. The Bible said they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And from thy seed shall possess the gate. Brother Brown said, I haven't power to make any of these women clean up. Any of these men that's listening to this tape or whatever. I have no way of making them clean up. I'm powerless, but I do have the authority of God's word and as a servant to preach it. And duty bound to that authority. Neither this policeman out here has power to stop a car, but he has the authority to do it. So what's he saying there? He's saying, look, and I'm laying it on the tape. I'm laying it on the line. And now it's up to you to follow the word of God. See, the power is within you to do so. It's your choice. So you see, it's not in his power, but God's word that counts. And if you hear it and receive it and act upon it, then it's yours. If not, then you're the one who loses out. And again, he is talking to tape listeners when he speaks of that organizational spirit and that loosening of morals. From his sermon, Why I'm Against Organized Religion, he said, now some of you brethren listening to this tape, some of you old men know that years ago, 40, 50 years ago, if they talked to you about organization, you'd have said it was blasphemy. But today you belong to the thing that you thought was blasphemy. You women that bob your hair and paint your face, your mothers was against that good old Pentecostal saint. But what happened to you? God said you did run well. What hindered you? See? Back there you was free from that stuff, but you wanted to be like the rest of them. And he's talking to the tape believers, the tape people. From church order, he said, now when the pastor comes to the platform, let the pastor then lead at least one or two songs and go straight to the word. There's no time for these long testimony meetings and everybody get up and a word to say. That does not prosper in the Branham Tabernacle. If any people, if you're listening to the tape and well, if it's prospered in your church, well, that's perfectly all right. And we're very glad of that. But that doesn't prosper. But it does prosper in your church. But in ours, it does not prosper. It only causes confusion. I've been pastoring here for 20 some odd years, and I have found that it only causes confusion. So, again, he's talking to the tape people. And then he says, recognizing your day, and you preachers listening to this tape, you listen. If you'd only recognize the hour that you're living, if you'd only recognize the sign of the time, you'd see why all the people are running from them denominations. The Spirit of the Lord is calling. No man can come to me, said Jesus, except my Father draw him. And all that the Father has in past times given me will come. What shall we do with Jesus? He said, you natives in Africa, you in Australia, you in Sweden and Switzerland, you listening to this tape, how are you going to answer in the day of judgment when I've been in your nations and you've seen the identification of Jesus Christ rising among the people and proving himself? Sweat, my, he must have sweated out. How could he do it if he was in his right mind. What kind of an angry God do you think it'll be to those who have trod underfoot the Son of God and have crucified him afresh again? That's to those tape people. People, he says, in Africa and everywhere else. In other words, trotting underfoot the Son of God, saying, well, he's not really a son. He's just a badger skin, just a coat. When Brother Brown took his board, you know, the local board, and he taught them on the Godhead, he taught it exactly as we've been teaching it, according to the people that were on that board. And for some smart alecky young preachers to come along and say William Branham was a oneness and taught as the oneness teach, and then say that you're a follower of his message? You most certainly are not. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He's a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. And you are of his offspring. He's, as Jesus said, ye vipers, ye generation of serpents, who has warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, forgive me for the anger I feel towards them that know your truth and will not teach it, but will rather deny it and make up all forms of isms to follow rather than to subject themselves to your simple truth and therefore live. Help us, Father, to get our eyes off of all that say that they believe, but rather help us to be only focused upon you and your word. For we are your seed and the flesh of your flesh and the bone of your bone, because we are filled with your spirit. Even when Peter had gotten his eyes off of what Jesus was telling him, and he got his eyes on John, Jesus said, what is it to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, get your eyes off of John. Get them on me. Therefore, Father, help us to have a willing heart to repent of all isms that may come our way, and help us to only look to thus saith the Lord. We ask that you would prepare our hearts for the change of the body, and we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Only Believe, in closing. And sing the middle verse, Lord, I Believe.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Are possible now.